West End, both BYU football and men's basketball got big-time commitments from the transfer portal yesterday. What do they bring to the Cougars? A.J. DeMonsa makes his Studio B debut as we discuss being on campus, his expectations for the season, and the return of Richie Sun.
2024 U.S. Olympian Connor Mance joins us. Recap that fourth-place finish at the Boston Marathon. And what about the L.A. Olympics in 2028? And Lexi Holiday Lowry continues her incredible run of late, breaking yet another record at the Robeson Invitational.
Welcome to a Friday edition of BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Friday. It's going to be May 2nd. I am Jerem Jordan. He is first pitch analyst, Dave McCann.
Yeah, and we saw one last night. You know, Kevin Young, he's been busy, you know, doing a lot of stuff. Well, he took time out to take his family to the ballpark last night at Miller Park, and he threw out the first pitch. So with his jersey on, he went out there, to his credit. Watch him. He doesn't even hesitate. He marches right to the top of the mound. He's kind of got that look on his face.
Got that swagger.
He comes in just a little high and away, but didn't bounce it. And just like Justin Sterner of the A's, neither he or Justin have given up a run this spring. And a great moment for the whole family. It was fun to see him out. The fans enjoyed seeing the coach out there tossing it. You've tossed first pitches. I've tossed first pitches.
Yeah,
it's not nearly as easy as it looks.
No, I'm way too aggressive on mine. I'm trying to, like, fire in a strike there, and I've bounced too, like a chump.
Yeah.
I've been terrible.
Yeah. Well, it's usually...
Just need to groove a strike.
Everything's good right up until you get on the top of the mound. And then all of a sudden, you're like, that's a lot further than I thought it was.
I tried Hideki Nomo with a suit on. I'm twisting around. I'm firing it.
Trying to be a showman.
Look like an idiot. Yeah, exactly. Just like on this program. Speaking of rise and shout, it's time for What's Trending.
BYU men's basketball has signed an elite 6'7 shooter from the transfer portal. There's more on the way.
There's a lot of really good players that are in the portal. We have to have a person that's going to help drive the culture. They want to be at BYU. That's a good sign.
Yesterday, football and men's hoops picked up commitments in the transfer portal. We'll talk about both, and of course, we'll play the game where if they aren't announced yet, we can't say their name. We'll do just about everything we can but say their name. Let's start with men's hoops. As mentioned by Spencer there a moment ago, a 6'7 transfer from Idaho commits to Kevin Young and BYU. What do you think of the addition?
Well, he shoots the three, 38%. Big guard at 6'7", as you mentioned. And we were talking, what's BYU going to do to replace Trevin Nell? Every team that's got a Final Four type lineup, as you look at it, has a dead-eye shooter from the three. It just loosens up everybody, and you got to have one. Nell was BYU's for a number of years, one of the best to shoot the three for the Cougars. And so they go out and get this one, again, 38% from the three. Tough kid, scored 17 points at the Marriott Center against BYU last November. So they got to look at him then. Here's a look at him now. He's 2 inches taller than Trevin, and he shoots the three as good as Trevin, or at least competitive that way, and that was a need they needed.
Yeah, it's fun to have highlights of said player because he played in the game against Brigham Young University. So, yeah, hit 4-3, 17 points against the Cougs, as you mentioned. A 6'7 guy. They're hoping he's some combination of Trevin Nell and Whit Mag, where he can be a 3-and-D guy. He hit at least 3 threes in a game 11 times last year. Probably going to come off the bench, and that's the kind of firepower you need in the Big 12. You need a guy that's going to come in, make a couple of threes with the firepower that BYU has. So I'm excited about it, and I think it's a nice addition. Not too many kids from Alaska BYU's had before, so here we go. Hopefully it's the next Trajan Langdon, if you will.
A three-point shooter is a literal game changer because someone's got to get out on him. And if someone goes and gets out on him with the roster that BYU has, then someone's not getting double-teamed, and it just opens everything up. In games when BYU's hit the three, they've been fantastic. And there were some games where they couldn't hit the side of the barn, and because of that, no one could do anything. So that three-point shooter is such a big deal for guys like AJ and the others to be able to do what they do.
And at 6'7", he can get a shot off. He hopefully can move and defend, rebound a little bit. So I think it's a nice addition for BYU.
With that addition, what's the next thing? What does Kevin Young need with the last couple of openings with roster restrictions now? What's he got to go get?
I still think another shooter, another point guard would be nice as well. That way you don't have to make Dawson Baker be a point guard per se, although he can do it. Another big or two. Right now you kind of have Kaba Keita, and then you have Xavion State, and then that's kind of it for like your true bigs. Mihailo Boskovic is kind of a four that you could play at the five. So BYU might be okay in that regard. I do want another big. I wonder if BYU feels like they want a Foose type in that, do we need a guy who we can throw the ball into who can get a bucket down low? That's not Kaba, and that's not Xavion per se at the moment. They have more specific kind of rebounding defensive shot blocker roles. Does BYU feel like they need that guy, or will they just space the floor and create open lanes?
And with AJ, do you think he could just go down there and do that? You might not post him up, but that doesn't mean he can't get to the rim. And every piece of video we've seen shows that he can do that. I think the question, too, is does Kevin Young want another 11-man rotation? Is that too many? Because you look at this roster and you go, well, who's going to sit?
Who's not playing, yeah.
Who's not playing? And then you look at three key spots. Richie averaged just under 30 minutes a game last year. He's not playing under 30 this year. AJ is not going to play under 30. And Rob Wright, last year BYU just split the point guard time between Yegor and Dallin Hall right around 20, 22 minutes. Well, Rob Wright's a 30-minute type guy.
Yep.
So now all of a sudden the minutes are greatly restricted, which is a really good thing because you've got these three dynamic players. But where the rest fit in and how many guys you need to have that, I think that's a good challenge to have. It's a challenge.
And maybe Kaba Keita plays more because he and Foose kind of split at about 20. Maybe Kaba Keita's more along the 26 to 28 minutes per game kind of guy. So we'll see. Did you weigh in on the what you think they need?
I agree with you. I think maybe if there's a veteran point guard, and again, you're going, okay, well, they're also building a practice body. They got to have guys to practice. And there's next year when Richie leaves and AJ leaves and Kaba leaves and who else. So there's the future as well. But maybe someone who can come and settle things down, who's going to be okay with limited minutes. And there's some of those out there. I think there's like 1,000 kids in the portal, maybe more.
Yep.
So it's a matter of, with roster limits, it's a matter of finding the right guy. It's no longer just, hey, why don't you come try this out? It's got to be just the right fit, and I think that's what they're working on. But outside of that, they got their starting five ready to go. It looks like they've got their first three guys off the bench ready to go. And teams get hurt and all that stuff, so you want to prepare for the worst. But in preparing for the best, as you look at the pundits, go, that is a contender. That's a national contender team.
I think the rotation, like you said, is pretty much in place. You may be able to add one piece that fits in there, but for the most part, I think BYU's got what it wants. Okay, defensive tackle transfer from Oklahoma State was also announced to BYU. Do you like the move? Does it solve BYU's D-tackle issues?
Certainly helps it, right? When you lose those four D-linemen from last year, and that was the talk going into the offseason as well, they were much better than expected. How do you replace them? And then Keanu Tanavasa comes down, and they're like, okay, they replaced that. But there were still a couple other pieces when you lose Mangelson, Nelson, Banya, and Batty. And so the new guy fits one of those pieces as a potential starter in the middle. And BYU couldn't be happier. BYU fans shouldn't be. There's no more joy of where you could find on the defensive line on the second day of May than what they've got right here.
And it's big time because it's a former, product out of Roy that played with Parker Kingston in high school. He's got 2 years to play, which is awesome. Massive position of need. D-tackle specifically, BYU lost four guys to the portal of the nine on the spring roster. 40 tackles the last 2 years, 22 solo, 8 TFLs, 2 pass deflections. We love Costco around here, just saying, if you get that. Had a TFL and a pass deflection against BYU in 23. Had a tackle against BYU in 24. Wasn't like an every game starter for them, but a depth piece. But given where BYU is at right now, I would pencil him in as that other D tackle with Keanu Tanavasa right now. So that's a nice pickup and a guy that is excited to be back home and from a fellow Big 12 school. I think there's something to prove there, right? And with Caleb Etienne, we saw what he did coming from Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Excited for this player as well.
I think what's satisfying the most for BYU fans is when there's a need, they just go out and fill it, as opposed to we can't fill it, so we're going to try to make do. It seems like the make do era is over now at BYU, and it's a matter of we've got a need, and you mentioned Costco. It's like going shopping and go, well, I need that, and so I'm going to get that. Now, a lot of times we get stuff at Costco we don't need, but for the most part, that's what they're doing now.
Yeah.
And so when we think about, well, what else do they need to do? Again, it might be just walking down the aisle going, what looks good that we can add? Because this team is ready for opening day.
Yep, and I like the I have something to prove guys too. Keanu Tanevasa is the rare, like, proven product at a Power 4 school, which is nice. Robert Wright III is another one of those, proven product at another Power 4 school. In the place of, you know, in case of basketball, it's Power 5 with the Big East. But I like the move. I think it's good. And he has 2 years to play, which is always nice as well. A little familiarity with the state, having played here. Yeah. And, you know, Jim McMahon and Parker Kingston, products of Roy. Hi, you add another one here.
Are you talking about a trilogy?
I suppose
Royal
so.
Trilogy.
What did Parker Kingston and Jim McMahon have in common? They've thrown touchdown passes at BYU.
That's right. Well, I don't know if this kid has.
I think so.
You got to look at it. You got to look at it.
As a D tackle.
Well, let me ask you the same question now with football. Is what what next?
Yep.
What are they missing?
I still think D tackle needs a little bit, which is exciting. I think quarterback is a position that BYU should look at. Does BYU have the next guy after Jake in the room? I think that they need to add to the room to compete with Borgay and Utah State transfer.
Oh, Hillstead.
Hillstead, thank you, McKay Hillstead. Those two guys, I think there needs to be another guy to compete with those guys next year.
Okay.
And so I think they need another guy who maybe could be the backup walking into the year if he beats him out. Maybe he's not. Maybe he redshirts. But I think there are some portal guys that are of interest from notable schools that used to be in the Pac-12, for example. So I'm excited about that. So DT still and quarterback for me are still of note. What do you think?
BYU just announcing the signing of tight end Kayan Need from New Mexico. So they're working on that spot with Carson Ryan and
I believe he's Spencer Need's nephew.
Good.
That's
well,
awesome.
We love Spencer, so he's got to be. If he's anything like Spencer, then this is a good thing for
BYU.
Yep. But 6'5 and 260, so they're working on that. It feels like losing Lassiter and Marion from the receiver core, there was a time where we thought both would be back, right? That Lassiter would get an extension, an extra year because of his junior college time, and that Marion would be back. But now they're both gone, and so it's Chase and JoJo Phillips and Parker Kingston and Cody Hagan. It feels like if something were to happen to Roberts, and remember, he got hurt in the Colorado game and then was out, but if something were to happen to Chase, where do they go from there depth-wise? And there's some receivers still out there in the portal, and they got some young guys in the room still. But it feels like if you were just going to add some guys that could help, that this would be a spot.
Yeah, that could be an interesting spot as well. I feel like BYU's, tight end was another one, so they're adding Need. I know there are others in the mix as well, which is good. So, yeah, there's almost not a spot where you go, they don't need anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you could always use somebody. I suppose running back, you feel pretty comfortable with the depth you've got there. Which, by the way, when Hinkley Ropati jumped in the portal, I was like, he still has a year? I thought it was good.
That surprised
me. BYU feels like they have some good depth and experience. Obviously, you want like a proven guy and then some guys that you've maybe seen a little bit of that you're excited about. That's the case in many positions.
Yeah.
The perhaps most loaded position is safety right now for BYU. They are absolutely 2 and 3 deep at that spot. Cornerback, you could always use a veteran. They have some good young guys that they're excited about with Alexander and Cabello.
Gennaro loves that group.
But Johnson is a proven product, and Maury Bamba is a proven product. So that's exciting. And it's a team that feels like it still has something to prove, which when BYU feels like it's underappreciated, it is a dangerous squad,
Kalani
which I feel
really
like they feel like that right now.
I think so, and we'll see when the polls come out. And
right.
And we're almost to July. We'll find out what the first Big 12 preseason projection is. They won't be 13th this year, but where will there be, and will
is
it be enough to go, hey, what's up with this?
Right, is third too high? Yeah, we want to also tell you that a receiver has been added, a snow transfer, Reggie Frischnecht, who was going to go to Weber State, and now he's coming to BYU. He's a guy that will add to the depth of that room as well. So we appreciate football putting out a couple right in the A block
in
the first 15 minutes.
They're just trying to help us.
Just feeding us some fresh info here. Reggie Frischnecht, 6'4", 200, from Ephraim, went to snow. He was going to go to Weber State. He's coming to BYU. So
this conversation is a reflection of the world we're in, which is great for this program. But it's 24/7, 12 months a year now.
Yes.
Football and basketball.
What do you guys talk about in May?
There's no off.
This.
You know, this, yeah. And tomorrow will be something else. It almost like if you've been away from your phone for like 10 minutes, don't you feel like, I got to see if we've released a schedule.
Yes.
If we've got this, we've got that.
Yesterday, I'm literally at Topgolf with Spencer and some friends. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, we got a commitment from this basketball guy. And Spencer told me, I was like, I had no idea. I haven't checked Twitter in 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It's an exciting time to be highly competitive and good. And across the board at BYU, especially these two that we're talking about today, they're right there. And, boy, the next 8 months are going to go fast. And, and we'll be right back going, could you believe what just happened?
Football is over?
Yeah.
4 months until football begins. Let's go. Our question of the day is this. In which position does BYU football and men's basketball still need to add depth? Weigh in on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at KurtJBO7 on X. The defensive line is starting to look scary good, but could still use more depth. For basketball, the biggest need is point guard to back up RW3. Absolutely.
Okay. At Roberts_MN on X, I'd love one more wide receiver. I'd really love another point guard.
They got Frischneck, so there's the one more receiver, perhaps.
Yeah. And they're working on the other, so.
Yeah. And trust me, any answers to this question, the football team, they know. And they even know when they look at the position group and go, okay, we need to develop these guys because this is the group we have. We got to get this guy to be good enough at this position, so on and so forth. And sometimes you get surprised, like when Harrison Taggart and Keelan Marion bounce. You're like, all right, that means this, and that means this for this guy and this guy. And they're assessing this constantly.
And then when an assistant coach puts out some eyeballs, you know, before 10 – Now you got to check the phone all day long because you're like, okay, something's happened.
And they know if they put out the eyeballs emoji that we're all going to go,
And they usually don't put those out unless there's going to be a follow-up.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's another exciting day on the second day of May.
Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
BYU Sports Nation hitting the road again this weekend. Be in Idaho Falls at Freeman Park tomorrow for a BYU Fan Fest, interviews with guests from football, basketball, women's basketball, and much more. Our coverage on BYU TV and BYU Radio starts up at 1 Eastern. That's tomorrow, right here.
Shout out to the Spuds. When we come back, he's officially in Provo. AJ DeBonta's first BYUSN interview in studio. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store. Great to have you with our day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. AJ DeBonta is on campus now, practicing in the annex, in the Marriott Center, going to classes. And earlier this week, Spencer and I spoke with AJ for the first time in Studio B.
AJ, so great to have you in Studio B, in Provo.
Welcome, man.
In Provo! Yeah. Like, it's happening, it's here. How are you feeling about the new move?
Not great. I've been wanting to be here, and now that I'm here, it's just a finally moment, you know?
You're going to be a college student. What's the most exciting thing / intimidating thing about taking college classes?
I think it's more just exciting just to see what it's like because I have a sister in college and she keeps telling me, like, college classes this. Like, I want to see if, like, the rumors are true, if it's hard or not. I don't think it's really intimidating. I'm not too nervous about going to college.
As an entry point, which classes or maybe which class are you most looking forward to as you begin this new adventure?
Jessica Mullen is our academic advisor.
Oh, she's a baller.
Crazy. She told me in the fall, I have this one class, all athletes. Now she didn't tell me what we're taking, but I don't care what we're taking.
All athletes.
So basketball, yes. Football, baseball. So I'm looking forward to that class. See how that moves.
Have you kind of gotten to know some people on campus already that are current student athletes or going to be incoming besides Xavion, who you played with at Utah?
Me and Xavion have been doing the whole process together. A lot of guys are out right now, injury or just away. But, I seen Cable this morning. I seen Dawson yesterday. So just trying to mingle.
So some familiarity with some of the guys?
Yeah.
Nice. AJ DeBonta is in Studio B and on BYU Sports Nation. How much basketball have you actually played with your future teammates to this point?
Me, Kaba, Xavion lifted today. But me and Xavion has been on workouts. So, I've been playing the last 20 high school games with Xavion.
Yes.
Future teammates. How's the alley-oop chemistry? We've talked about
that. No, we actually worked on it today.
Nice.
Which was crazy. Like, we did pick and rolls, and I was trying to throw some lobs. Some of them were bad, but it's spring.
It's April. You're working on it. Yeah.
Richie Saunders announces he is back.
Yes.
Super exciting over the weekend. What was your reaction to that news, and how do you feel about it all?
No, I was kind of scared because, like, a lot of people, they, like, hint at stuff, and he just kept quiet, like, the whole time. So I was like, bro, like, he actually better be coming back. Like, and then when he posted it, I reposted it and all that. So now we're happy that he's coming back, and it's going to be a great season.
What kind of effect could that have on an already talented team to have Richie back?
I mean, he was – I don't even know what – I don't even know how to describe what he did last year, but wasn't he – he was all Big 12?
First team.
Yeah, first team Big 12. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a – it's not even a great addition. He's been here, so it's just a great piece to have and keep.
How much can you lean on a guy like that who's been in college, who's going to be a senior, who's been at BYU?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to lean on him a lot for advice. Like, I'm going to look at his work ethics, how he works, what time he gets in the gym, and I'm going to try to, like, follow in his footsteps because, obviously, he's been here for 4 years.
You have an established relationship with Robert Wright III. Mm. What do BYU fans need to know about him as a player and person?
Nah, player, I mean, y'all go see firsthand, like, how he is as a player. Like, it's a great pickup for us. Like, I think he's a pass first point guard, but whenever needed to get, like, a bucket, he can do that. Like, he's just a winner. Like, he does all the winning plays. And as a person, he just brings a lot of vibes, brings a lot of energy, funny guy. So, I mean, we'll see.
I like the smile on your face when you bring up his name. Why is that?
Yeah, because I've only played one game with him. Like, it was like an exhibition game. Like, I played outside with him at Slam. But I knew him forever. Like, we went to USA camps together. Top 100 together, but we never played on the same team except that one time.
What was that one game like for you together?
Oh, it was a win, so that's all.
We like that. We like that.
A lot of excitement with this team, AJ. People saying, you know, fifth or sixth best team in the country right now. Mm-hmm. Lenardi came out this morning and said, hey, two seed projection. All of this is preseason, which is exciting, but how do you kind of take that information, even though it's April going into next year?
I mean, you can't really take too much because last year there's a lot of teams highly ranked preseason that didn't really make a run in the tournament or stuff like that because it's just on paper, but we just got to mesh together, work out together, and we can exceed those expectations.
What's the work you have to put in the spring and summer to get to that point where once you get together in the fall, now it's official, you got the whole roster, that you can make that move?
I think it'll be a lot of on the court for sure, but I think it's a lot of off the court bonding. Once you get that mesh, it'll be way easier on the court. You'll know what guys like, you'll know how guys feel. What makes them mad, what doesn't.
At this point, who have you clicked with on the team? I know you haven't played a ton of basketball with them, but, like, those relationships you're talking about, what is happening that is going well and is easy?
I can't say anybody yet. Me and Xavion, I just knew Xavion for the longest, and I knew Rob, but I don't think I've clicked with anybody yet. Obviously, I've seen guys here and there, but once we all get back together and start, like, summer workouts, then I can really tell you.
You've been busy. You're not just playing at Utah Prep. You're doing all kinds of things. We've chronicled quite a bit. And it sounds like you're going to continue to do some service with McDonald's coming up next week here in Provo.
Yeah, I think, what is it, May 6th? I'll be at McDonald's off of, I think it's Cougar Boulevard.
Yes.
So I'll be doing some community service. I might put a little hat on, might put a little apron on, flip some burgers and hand them out.
How do you feel about that all?
Nah, last time I did it, like, it wasn't hard, like, doing it, but, like, it was just, like, it's hot. Like, when you're flipping all those burgers.
In the kitchen?
Yeah, it's super hot. But, you know, they have all my respect. But, I mean, I'm excited. Like, I can go to the drive-thru. People will notice me. I might put on the BYU hat with the McDonald's apron.
Yes.
I like that. So,
let AJ cook.
Let him
literally.
Cook. Exactly.
Quote that.
What time are we hanging out there?
I don't know what time it is.
In the afternoon sometime? Two.
Two
o'clock?
Two o'clock.
Okay. 2 o'clock, May 6th, McDonald's in Provo. Come hang out with AJ.
Awesome. AJ DeBont says on BYU Sports Nation, you have goals. You're a very goal-oriented person. Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to accomplish as an individual and as a team during the offseason as you get ready for next season?
Individual, I mean, I touched with Wiz and Danielle, just trying to get, like, my body right. I weighed in at 211 yesterday, 6'8 and 3/4 without shoes on. So I'm really, like, 6'9".
Let's go!
Have you grown a little bit?
Yeah, like a half inch.
Nice.
So, I mean, we're trying to get some goals, like, probably, like, by the end of the season, be, like, 224 around that area and just getting my diet right. So that's, like, the individual goals. But when the team comes in, just trying to find out what guys like, where guys like to shoot. Actually throw a lob to Kayla.
You want to throw a lob to Kayla.
Yeah.
You almost can't throw it too high.
Nah, you could throw it too high.
The guy can jump out of the gym.
Yeah, you could throw it too high. Like, if you throw it up. Actually, never mind. You can't throw it too high. Yeah,
it's tough to do with him.
Yeah, Wiz was actually talking about, like, he was in the top 3 percentile of vertical jump, and if he compares to NBA guys.
From the combine last year or something like that?
So that was last year, so imagine this year.
That's legit.
Yeah. That is really
So you
legit.
Actually can't throw it too high, so I will be throwing it very high.
We've talked about Provo and the NBA setup that BYU has. The two people you mentioned are the strength and conditioning coach and the nutritionist, both of which have NBA experience. what kind of confidence do you have in this process of, hey, they can get me ready for that level because they've been there?
Yeah, it's all the confidence. I mean, if you're at the level where everybody dreams of going and then you come down a level and are providing that information, like, you can't really get any better than that. Like, they're professional at their craft.
Now, we talked about you working at McDonald's. Like, that's a fun deal and important.
Yeah.
But what is your summer basketball schedule like as you balance classes and some travel?
Yeah, I'm just trying to balance classes. Obviously, I try to head out to Team USA around mid-June. Hopefully make that team and go out to Switzerland. But other than that, I'm just be here just working out and doing schoolwork.
There's a Noalytics system in the gym that tracks your shots and everything. How excited are you to use that system and kind of refine where on the court you shoot a high percentage and where you can maybe improve?
No, it's going to be good. So definitely, like, when I'm in games and I know that, let's just say, a right wing I shoot better, then I'm going to try to get my shots over there. But I need to improve on the left wing. So it's going to make workouts easier. This data just, the data don't lie. So it's just going to be way easier to, like, just improve.
We've heard that the guys compete with percentages and whatnot because everyone can see everyone. So that'll be a fun kind of summer situation to be like, oh, I got the upper hand here.
Exactly. Yeah. Bragging rights.
Yes. All right, AJ, let's have some fun and just look over the span of your knowledge of BYU and how long you've been associated with it. But if you can, rewind to the moment you first thought about BYU or was put onto your radar and how much your perception of BYU has changed from that moment to where you sit today.
Funny story. When I was making, like, my top list, BYU didn't make my list. My list. My dad was like, yo, just throw BYU in there. Like, just trust me. Just throw BYU in there. I was like, all right. I listened to my dad. I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw BYU in there. I came on the visit, and I was like, oh, yeah. Like, my fault, bro. My fault for doubting. My fault for doubting y'all, bro. I got to come here.
What was it about that visit?
No, but, like, I'm going to tell you that. But, like, when I was doing it, you know, I was just a kid. I was like, I'm about to put all high radar schools, all that. And then he was like, put BYU on it, like, trust. And I came on a visit. We had the signs. I went to the football game.
Yes.
And it was just like, yeah, I have to.
It was Arizona, I believe, in the fall.
Yeah, it was BYU versus Arizona.
And that was a good game.
It was a great game.
That crowd was hype.
Crazy. I ran out. Like, it was bad. Like, it got crazy. I don't even know if that was...
What was it about, obviously you're a good son, you listen to your dad. What was it about that visit that made you be like, no, BYU has to be on this list?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the NBA staff, like the reason why I committed, but it was also just like the family atmosphere. Like, I was just wanted, like, by all the fans. Like, I had chants, like, I had signs, posters and everything. I was like, yeah, I can't, like, not turn this, I can't turn this down.
Not that you have a ton of free time, but what do you like to do with that free time? Especially now considering that you're in Provo and you are officially a college student.
Free time. I mean, I do a lot. I like to travel. I just came back from Cabo, actually.
How was Cabo? We were just there, too, last week.
I was there
on the BYU
week.
Cruise.
On the cruise.
Oh, I wasn't on the cruise. I was at a resort. No, I liked Cabo. That was my second time in Mexico. I had some tacos.
Nice. Fish tacos? What are we talking about here?
Steak, carne asada. Chicken, all types of...
All the tacos.
All the tacos, yeah.
Yeah, we were actually in Cabo last week, too, so that's really fun.
AJ, awesome. Yes, AJ DeBonza is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Okay, the NBA playoffs are happening right now. Mm-hmm. We know you're dialed in. You're watching as much as you can. Who is your favorite to advance out of the Eastern Conference and Western Conference and meet in the NBA Finals?
I don't really care who's out the West. I have the Celtics winning.
Okay.
As a Boston guy, right?
Yeah.
So do you grow up a Celtics guy?
Celtics, Bruins, Red Sox,
Patriots. Yeah, everything. All of it. Yeah.
Diehard Bostonian.
Yeah.
So Celtics are going to repeat? Is that how you feel?
Yeah.
No? Okay. What are you seeing in the Western Conference that has your interest?
No, I actually see a lot. I like the Nuggets-Clippers series.
So fun.
I think it's going to go to 7.
Mm.
The Warriors are actually playing great basketball right now.
With and without
the Thunder is just a crazy team, and then the Wolves are playing high level basketball right now.
The Thunder are interesting, right? Because they're very young.
Yeah, they are young, but
crazy efficient.
But they know how to play together and they play defense, which is hard to stop.
I love their post game interviews where they all crowd around the one guy.
Yeah,
that's really fun.
Yeah,
how you just explain the Oklahoma City Thunder, I like as an explanation for BYU basketball. Young, know how to play together, and they're going to play defense.
Yeah. Maybe we should start, like, gathering around, like, people after.
Maybe that. So Spencer does the post-game interviews a lot of times. All right, so whoever it is, just everyone gather around Spencer.
And we throw in the towels over their heads.
AJ, make it happen, bro.
I got you.
Let's go. Let's go. AJ DeBonza, again, on BYUSN. All right. What do you, at this point, What do you want BYU fans to know about BYU basketball and what's happening inside that culture?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be exciting, like, to game time. We're definitely going to try to play the right way because we're trying to win and try to go to the tournament and do all that. But we're trying to make it exciting. Obviously, you pay for the tickets, so you want your money's worth. We're going to try to have a lot of dunks, a lot of threes, exciting plays, but we're going to play the right way to win.
What are you expecting from your spring semester of school here as you begin classes and everything?
I don't even know what to expect. Honestly, I'm going to just go with the flow. I don't even know what to expect. It's my first time in college.
Okay, I want to go back to something you said about, because you're a Bostonian. Are you aware that, the Boston Marathon just happened. Mm. Three BYU alums finished in the top seven of the Boston Marathon.
No,
three!
That's pretty good.
In the top seven!
This is marathon you as well.
I didn't know that.
It's pretty good.
I mean, we're just on top always.
Did you ever go to the Boston Marathon?
I went to one. I don't know what year it was. I went to one. Yeah.
Nice. It's a big deal.
Yeah, it was.
In Boston.
Yeah. Huge
deal. There's also a report out there on social media floating around that BYU's maybe in discussions to play a game at TD Garden in Boston. What would you think about something like that happening?
Now, that would be great. Definitely all the family, the supporters that I have over there just coming out to a game. I don't know about selling it out. We might sell out, like, the first.
The lower bowl a bit.
Yeah. But it'll be fun. It'll be loud. Boston gets loud.
How many tickets would you be asked for if there was a game there?
I'm not answering my phone.
Dude, Ace is over there going, oh,
my dad, yeah, I'm not.
Ace would have to deal with that, huh?
I'm not answering my phone. 2 days in advance.
What about Boston is kind of in your DNA and who you are? Like, how has Boston shaped you?
Just prideful. Boston people have a lot of pride. Prideful. Boston is like a hardworking, like, I don't know, there's Boston, just Boston energy. Like, if you go to Boston, you'll feel the energy. Like, mm-hmm. if you go to a Celtics game, you'll feel the energy. If you go to a Patriots game, you'll feel the energy. You just gotta go to Boston, understand?
It's like an anti-New York energy, too.
Yeah, right? It's literally like a baby New York. It's literally a miniature version of New York, literally.
Yep.
I'm glad you brought up tacos earlier and McDonald's. You're in Cabo. We've talked about crepes with your trip to France, like all of these important things.
A lot of food mentions, okay? Yeah.
So on the food topic, what have you been told you need to eat in Provo?
You know what I had today? I had Neaters.
Nice.
I had Neaters. It was good.
Nice healthy sandwich spot. Yeah, yes. Soup, salad, sandwich.
And I had my first day here, right when I moved in, I had Zupas.
Mm-hmm.
Also a favorite of mine.
Yep. Fire. Love Kay? Zupas too.
Okay. Yes.
So those are the two spots that I've had. And I had Chipotle, but you had Chipotle everywhere. So
yeah.
I know you're very much on a strict health diet, but if at some point you need to gather some protein and you just want meat, Bam Bam's Barbecue.
Is that where we need to go?
That's the spot.
Is a hot spot. Bam Bam's Barbecue.
I'll keep that in the back of my mind.
Yes. Shout out to our guy Cam True.
We love Cam.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Great. AJ, great to have you in studio.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're here.
Yeah, good luck with classes and spring ball.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about class tomorrow. See how it goes.
Let's go.
We will be following up.
Okay.
I'm sure your dad will be following up too.
Yeah.
hit up AJ May 6th, 2 p.m. at the McDonald's in Provo. And then I'm sure he'll be walking around the Cougar 8 in the Wilkinson Center. Yeah, as a fellow BYU student, that's pretty cool, man.
Let's go. That's
awesome.
Let AJ cook in all the ways. Yeah. Great to have you with us, man.
Thank you.
Thanks AJ. AJ DeBonson studio, that was fun. Up next, Lexi Halliday-Lowry broke yet another record, plus Ryder Robinson of BYU Baseball had how many home runs last night? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. This is BYU Sports Nation. Jeremy Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Time for today's headlines.
A lot of football news, so let's break it down. Football program announcing the signings of three players from the transfer portal. This is just a minute ago. A defensive tackle, Justin Kirkland, to BYU after totaling 40 tackles in two seasons at Oklahoma State. Tight end Kayan Need signs with BYU. He had 16 catches in his two seasons at Weber State. Wide receiver Reggie Frischnick signs with BYU. Played a season at Snow College. Cut 38 passes, 740 yards, and 14 touchdowns.
I like 14 touchdowns.
Yeah, about that. And former BYU linebacker Harrison Taggart committed to Cal. We wish Harrison the very best.
Men's basketball got a commitment from a 6'7 transfer from Idaho yesterday. It was the leading scorer with 17 points against BYU in November when the Cougars won 95-71 in Provo. He averaged nearly 10 points a game, 3 rebounds a game, on 38% shooting from 3 last season for the Vandals.
BYU baseball beat Kansas State last night 11-6 to open a three-game series. Ryder Robinson hit two home runs. Parker Goff, a three-run shot right there. Both teams back at it tonight. 8:30 Eastern, ESPN Plus, and BYU Radio.
Softball dropped game one against number 11 Texas Tech 9-4 last night at Miller Park. Game two coming up tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN Plus.
Track and field from the Robinson Invitational. Lexi Holiday Lowry running the fastest mile time ever recorded in the state of Utah.
Whoa.
With a time of 4:34.18. And Jaden Ross Kelly of men's track and field becomes the third BYU decathlete to ever score 8,000 or more points in the decathlon.
Very nice. And Justin Sterner continues his incredible start to the season with another scoreless inning pitch for the A's in a 3-0 win against the Rangers. He's now pitched 15 and two-thirds scoreless innings to start the season. Also, Daniel Schneeman went 1-for-2 with a single and a walk while getting the start in center field for the Guardians in a 4-3 win over the Twins. Up next, 2024 U.S. Olympian Connor Mance shares his experience at the Boston Marathon and taking fourth place. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Well, Connor Mance took fourth place in the Boston Marathon last week. An incredible showing for many Cougars. We had Connor in studio earlier this week to talk about the incredible performance and what's ahead for him.
Always great to have an Olympian and a former NCAA champion in studio.
Connor Mance.
Connor Mance
on the program.
Gentlemen.
Let's go. Yeah, yeah.
He also happens to be the top finishing American in the prestigious Boston Marathon. Congratulations on
deal,
that, Connor.
Man.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back.
What was the Boston Marathon like, man? We were super proud of what you did. Were you proud?
I was proud of it. It's incredible. You know, it's very rare that as runners we get, you know, especially marathon runners, you get to hear screaming fans for a whole 26.2-mile stretch. So the Boston Marathon is one of those times, and that was pretty special.
Does that elevate your game a little bit?
I don't know if it elevates it, but it makes it a lot more fun.
Because running 26 miles, is that fun for you? Jared Ward came in and said before, he's like, it's actually pretty painful, and I don't like certain stretches of it. But
yeah, I mean, it varies. You just got to find the parts that you enjoy, and you remember those parts, and the parts that are terrible, you kind of forget those parts.
Okay.
You come back the next
selective memory.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man, how do you at some point, you got to be thinking, how did I talk myself into this again? But you've done it at such a high level, and you've obviously progressed. How do you feel like you have developed as a marathoner over the last few years and to the level that you are now?
Well, I think I was fortunate that my first marathon went really, really well. But then my next one, which was actually the Boston Marathon 2 years ago, went pretty bad. And so I think I took all the things that went bad from the Boston Marathon and I learned from them and I kind of improved on little things. You know, every 6 months I was just working on one thing. And so I felt like this go around, I kind of put it all together. You know, you want to say you put it all together and you get first, but this time I put it all together and I got fourth, which was a big step up from when I was 11th at the Boston Marathon 2 years ago.
You finished 11th and it was a bad race. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah, finished 11th, it was a bad race. Finished fourth and it was a great race. You
okay.
Know.
That difference is notable for you. What did it take and what did you put together in this one?
So I think this one I did a lot of prep with fueling. So, you know, during a marathon, we're taking in a bunch of calories. Everybody always asks me, like, if I have a special diet. But during a marathon, I take in, like, 700 calories of just sugar.
Whoa! Mm.
Actually, now that I think about it, it's probably closer to 1,000. But somewhere in that range of 700 calories of sugar to 1,000 calories of sugar. And so I made sure I practiced with that. So a lot of runs where I was, you know, taking in a bottle of Morton is my sponsor. It's a sports drink mix, and it's just a super highly concentrated calorie dense liquid. And so drinking that, you know, a lot in training and then going into the marathon, being able to take it down and feel good, having it settle really quickly. I mean, it's kind of that's like the one thing about marathoning that's really difficult that most people don't know is you're supposed to be taking in, you know, 200 milliliters with, you know, over 100 calories of liquid every 15 minutes.
Whoa.
And you're supposed to be doing that while you're running at a 4 minute and 50 or 4 minute and 45 second pace per mile. So
incredible.
I worked on that a lot. I worked on my pacing. I worked on just my long runs. You know, getting used to running over 20 miles in a run you know, no matter how many times I do it, it still is hard, but it gets a little bit easier each time.
How do you adequately prepare for something like that? Like, do you just do, I'm guessing you didn't run a full marathon close up to Boston, but like, how do you get ready for those type of details so that you are consuming what you need to consume? And how long are the training runs that you're going through as you get ready for stuff like that?
Yeah, so the training runs, I'll go, this is a typical day for me will be 14 miles in the morning and 6 miles in the evening, Monday through Friday. And that'll vary. Some days are fast, some days are slower. Just whatever Coach Eystone has planned for us. And then Saturday we'll run 20 to 25 miles in the morning and then take the rest of the weekend off until Monday comes back around. And so you're doing this high volume of running. And so before your runs, you're taking in some calories. During some of your runs, depending on if it's a high intense day, you really try and focus on also taking in those calories.
Okay.
And training your gut to be used to taking in such a high concentration of carbohydrates.
At those like predetermined intervals as well?
Yeah, yeah. Or you'll be doing it, you know, in between the intervals, or you'll be doing it on the long runs when you're running, you know. If you're running 20 or 25 miles, you know, every 15 minutes you're taking in so much calories and so much liquid that ends up actually being the hardest part of the whole long run.
Whoa.
It's not running it, it's trying to run it and not throw up. You know, it's trying to get your gut used to 1,000 calories within a 2-hour span.
Wow. Okay, so you're telling me on a typical like training week, you're running 120, 25 miles a week?
Yeah, yeah. On the, on the typical weeks, it was 120, and then I peaked out around 129.
Oh my goodness. Are you just constantly tired?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just all the time?
Yeah, just all the time.
And you talked about when you won.
He's running from Santa Quinn to Logan. Okay, think about that as far as Utah terms go.
Oh my gosh. Oh. That's crazy. Man, they should have had marathon runners in the pioneer days. They would have got to Utah just a little bit quicker, I guess. But what, like, how do you do that? How do you train your body to do that? Because you talked about when you won your NCAA championships, I can suffer longer. Like, what is it mentally, physically that you've been able to do this?
I think it's just adding a little bit, of training every year. So it's these little steps that you make in your progression. So like last year I started running weeks where I was running 120 miles, and the year before that it was 115 miles. And so it's this, like, you're trying to make these steps that feel actually really big, and they're really small when you get down to it. You know, that's an average of a mile a day, more or less than a mile a day, but making those jumps over the period of a year, It's still pretty tough, but it's still such a small jump. I didn't go from running 100 miles a week to 125. I didn't go from 85 to 100. It was, it's been 7.5 years since I returned home from my mission. And so I've been every year just adding a little bit more since then.
You said something a few years ago, and I enjoyed what you said, and I brought it up a few times, but and I'm paraphrasing, but you said you feel like you can endure pain better than everyone else. And there's something special about that, Connor. Like, where does that confidence that I can just handle pain better than everyone else come from?
I don't know really where it comes from. It might be just everyone telling me that, and so I have to, I believe it because I know that's an advantage. But I think it's, you know, in training, I have to go out and, you know, training's hard. But I have to, or I don't have to do anything, but when I go through training, I tell myself, okay, this is going to be difficult, and that's okay. Like, I have a certain level of difficulty that is actually supposed to be comfortable. Now, when I go too far, you know, past that, then I know that that's past the limit, and it's not going to be sustainable. But it's kind of like there's this feeling of this is really difficult that is almost comfortable. I don't know how to describe it really like that, but it's just continually doing that year after year.
That's impressive that you got into that plane, right? What was it like in the marathon to have Clayton Young there and Rory Linklater at 6 and 7 respectively, which is pretty cool? That,
oh yeah.
Three in the top seven. Are you kidding me?
Oh, it was incredible. It's so fun. Coach Eystone after was going through it, and he's like, you know, if it's a cross-country race and we score the top three, we lose to Kenya. BYU loses to Kenya by 4 points. And so we were like, joking about it after. And Rory's like, yeah, well, if Mance had sped up, we might have done better or something. But it was so much fun seeing them. I mean, Clayton and I still train together. Rory and I are still great friends. So having, you know, three, it's kind of, it's uncommon to have three North Americans in the top seven. So to have three North Americans in the top seven who are all BYU alums, that was a pretty special moment. I had breakfast with Rory the next day, and we were just chatting for about an hour and a half about it. And it was just cool to see, you know, how much, how in a way BYU was helping bridge some gaps when it comes to, I don't know, North American marathoners being competitive on the world stage.
Yeah.
Marathon U now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not just Steeple U, it's Marathon
U. It's Marathon U.
You, you said three BYU alums. You're all teammates. Yeah. You're teammates at BYU.
That's like true.
2018, right?
Yeah, 2018. It's crazy. We didn't win a national title.
I know. It's like, oh. Was it Northern Arizona?
Northern Arizona on that year.
Come on.
Stinking Lumberjacks.
I know. I mean, we were second that year. So it's still
pretty good.
It's
still pretty good. Let's be honest. That's great.
The relationship you have with those guys, and I'm going back to the Olympics, and I know you've talked about this a little bit with us, but when you cross the line in Paris and, you know, Clayton and you're there and you're congratulating the other runners as they come in. One, why did you opt to do that, and what was that moment like for you as you finish and you're so tired, but like the other Olympians are coming across the line?
Oh, it was kind of a celebratory experience because, you know, the Olympics was so hard to get there. Everybody who got there, like, they deserve to be there. And two, you just ran 26 miles with these guys. And whether you speak their language or you know where they're from or you can even pronounce the name of their country, you feel some sort of bond because you were together for so long. And in going through this pain you guys were talking about earlier. And so you see these athletes who are kind of your friends, even though you know very little about them. I mean, I did my homework and I knew the names of probably half the guys, but it was still... like, I felt this bond with these athletes who I was running with for so long. Mm. So it was just fun to see them, fun to congratulate them. I mean, I turned around and saw Clayton doing it first. So I was like, oh, yeah, that seems like a good thing to do. But it was also fun to chat with, like, and talk to these guys after the race and congratulate them who, I don't know, there was a guy from Germany who I don't even remember his name. I think he finished about 14th place, but we were running together at, like, the hardest part of the course. And it was fun to see him come across. And then it was fun to see Rory come across. And a guy from Australia named Pat Tiernan, who I've raced against quite a few times, it was fun to see him come across. So I think it's just fun that you know each other so well. You respect each other as competitors. On our sport, it makes the world feel pretty small.
Oh, yeah. The imagery of that. I was emotional watching that. That was incredible.
I hope death is like that. When you cross to the other side, our families are going, hey, you made it.
Yeah.
Welcome. Come on in. Let me show you around. Like, yeah. I hope it's like that. I really do. 28 is in the Summer Olympics in L.A.
Yeah.
The goal is obviously to represent the U.S. in that.
Absolutely.
And to run on home soil. Yeah. What would that mean?
Oh, it'd be so special. I'm getting chills as you said that. Yeah, like the Olympics in Paris was amazing. But doing it at home, like in L.A. in the United States, would be so special. There's something just like special to that with it being at home. But also, I think that'll be when I'm in the prime of my career. Mm. So I'll be there, you know, hoping to get a medal, fighting for a medal as best I can. But doing it in front of a home crowd, and it's going to be easy for family to come and watch. It's, or at least I'm assuming it is. You know, they're not going to have to get passports or anything. They can just drive down. But it's going to be a really, really cool place.
Always good to catch up with you. And a shout out to your coach, Ed Eyestone. And just, it's fun that you can drive around Provo and you'll see this group of runners. You're like, Olympian, 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 Olympian. Olympian. There's Kenneth Rooks. There's Clayton.
Oh, just walk in the Smith Fieldhouse randomly. You might see one of those guys.
There's Connor. This is crazy.
There's James.
It's crazy. Yeah, that's a tribute to all of you and the hard work you've put in. So we're super excited for you. Can't wait to follow your journey into the next steps, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Connor Mance in studio. Coming up, we'll wrap up today's show with our elite voice of the day. And today's Rise and Shout-Out, this is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Our question of the day: in which position does BYU football and men's basketball still need to add depth? Our Elite Voice of the Day is presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated at Flack Drew on X. We need depth at the most important positions on the field and court. The big men. Hey, could still use some more.
That's the standard answer.
Yeah.
Everyone wants more big men.
Yep. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Lexi Holiday Lowry ran the fastest mile time ever recorded in the state of Utah. That goes back to the Pioneers. In the last 2 weeks, she has
ran the third fastest
time in NCAA history in the 5K, set the BYU program record. In the steeplechase, ran the sixth fastest time in NCAA history, second fastest time in BYU history, and ran the fastest mile, as mentioned, ever recorded in the history of the Beehive State.
Baller.
What a run.
Thanks to today's guest, A.J. DeBonta, Connor Mance. Started Dennis for another time.
All of our stuff, the conversation, it all continues 24/7, X, Instagram, and Facebook, and BYUSN.com.
For Dave, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Josh Rohatinsky. See you tonight for baseball and softball, and tomorrow in Idaho Falls at the Fan Fest. Go Cougs!